we've been preaching through the series on forgiveness. Pastor Enoch walked us through a couple sermons about how to ask for forgiveness and how to show forgiveness. And Pastor Steve, I wasn't here. We were at SDC with some of the youth and a bunch of the adult counselors and college students, spending a really great weekend, just learning more about God's word. But he preached on God's love, and hopefully that was, a real blessing to you. And, when I thought about kind of when I was slotted to preach here, I was thinking, well, what could I talk about forgiveness? The idea really came out in that, we have this sort of horizontal relationship in terms of forgiveness, and certainly we've referenced the vertical in terms of, like, us with God, this idea of forgiveness. But for me, something that certainly I wrestle with and something I am trying to grow in is sort of like the internal conflict about forgiveness, like about this idea of how do I forgive myself, when tough stuff happens. And, and then I came upon 2 Corinthians 5, so if you guys want to have your Bibles flipped there, if you've got your bulletin, it's printed there as well. I came across this passage in studying it, it was really pretty exciting to see what God's word had to say, because actually I was really surprised. But I think the thing that I think for me, the reason that I wanted to talk about this was because there's this movie, I think it's from maybe late 80s, early 90s, it's called Groundhog Day. I'm not promoting it by any means. Actually, I was talking about it just the other day with a friend, and I thought this is so interesting because in the movie, the main character, I was really young when I watched this. I don't remember all the details, so this is what I remember. So if, like, Bill Murray is listening, and you could email me, and I'm sorry. Really what it came down to is that the main character, it's Groundhog's Day, and he's living, like, the same day over and over again because he keeps doing things wrong. He's a really mean-spirited kind of guy, and he just treats everyone kind of poorly. And for whatever reason, whatever mystical power in that specific universe has him continually reliving the same day over and over and over again. And he's fully aware, so he understands that this is the same day again. And he keeps reliving this day over and over and over again. And then the key is, sorry if I'm going to ruin this for you. Most of you guys don't even know what I'm talking about. That's okay. And maybe you guys have seen it, but this idea is that the only way he can escape February 2nd is by when he does things right. Like, he has to relive it over and over and over again until he does things right. And I thought this was just funny because I think this is what I struggle with, and maybe some of us here, we struggle with, is that when we mess up, we feel like we have to relive it over and over and over again until we get it right. And we get into this cycle of not, quote-unquote, forgiving ourselves. And hopefully, hopefully what after hearing this word from 2 Corinthians and the Holy Spirit working in us, we will be able to break free from that Groundhog's Day that we keep living. So let me read the passage and then we'll pray. We're for 2 Corinthians 14. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 to 21. So if you guys are all there, I'll start reading. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who might live no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Let's just pray that God would open up our hearts. God. In our midst, there's probably a great diversity of people. People who've been here forever, people who are here for the first time. God, people who know you and call Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, and those who do not. God, I pray that you would be so gracious to help us understand this word. And God, I pray that you would be able to use me and get me out of the way of your word so that your word will truly preach and that your spirit would convict as necessary or give life as necessary. And God, we pray that you just give us that blessing to be able to experience that amazing reality that your word speaks and help us understand your forgiveness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so I think, if we're going back to this concept of, asking our question, the question of like, I need to relive these things over and over again. I think in a room this size, even to the youngest person, we've probably made at least one mistake, right? We've done something wrong. We've wronged somebody, or maybe if we have this perspective, maybe we're a Christian, we recognize, oh, I've actually wronged God. So I think this is not a stretch. We probably can think of a time where we've hurt somebody. Maybe even this morning we've hurt somebody. Maybe this morning we've hurt God. And some of us, a lot of us, it just brushes off. Like we ask for forgiveness and we're okay. It brushes off us, or we confess to God and we feel okay. But for many of us, and again, certainly for me, I feel this. Sometimes with the really big things that we mess up in, we hold on to it, we cling to it, and we go, I can never forgive myself for this. I will never forgive myself for this. It's so big, there's no way I can let go of it. And I want to say, and then I think what the world would say would be like, no, like you totally have to forgive yourself. It's okay. It's not that big of a deal. Like, you totally need to forgive yourself. But I would say this. When we say, I can never forgive myself, I would say we are spot on. We're exactly correct. We actually cannot forgive ourselves, which is my first point, that we cannot forgive ourselves. So that doesn't sound very hopeful. I'm talking about forgiveness and all this stuff, and here I am saying, you can't forgive yourself. What's the deal with that? If I was in the seats and someone said that to me, I might be like, see ya, I'm out of here. What's this church talking about? Well, here's what I'm talking about. We've been talking about forgiveness, and forgiveness is this concept where it's something that a person gives to us when we wrong them, right? Or in the grand scheme of things, when we sin against God, the forgiveness we receive from him is because we have wronged him. So when we say, I'm going to try to forgive myself, it's not possible. We haven't wronged ourselves. We've wronged someone else. So ultimately, when we sin against God, we're breaking his law, so then our forgiveness has to come from God. It can't come from ourselves. When we're trying to do that, we're trying to essentially almost just get away with it by feeling bad. And it's basically a misunderstanding of what this passage is saying. I'm going to read here from 14 to 19 again. So we understand where forgiveness comes from. And in this passage, it says reconciliation. But where does true forgiveness come from? It doesn't come from ourselves. Where? Verse 14. For the love of Christ controls us because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who might live no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ, here we go, through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Nowhere in there does it say, from ourselves, that in us comes the ministry of reconciliation. That's not in that passage. So What this passage is saying that is, if you are a Christian, if you have, you know, recognized Jesus as Lord and Savior, we have reconciliation. We already have that. You know, we've been set free, that God, the God of the universe, the God that created everything, has given us forgiveness. And you know, maybe that you're hearing this for the first time, and that sounds really good. You know, it is good, but maybe you're hearing this for, you know, maybe this is like the 10th time, 100th time, millionth time that you've heard this, and maybe it's losing that sort of luster. And you're just like, oh, you know, yeah, I mean, that whole idea of God forgiving me, that whole idea of reconciliation from God is good, but I still feel this. Like, I still want to hold on to it. It's almost like it's not enough. So then if God has given us forgiveness, reconciliation, then why do we cling to this weight? Why do we hold on to it with such a tight grip? And this is really where, this is my second point, is we still feel guilty, and this really for two reasons, and let me walk you guys through it. The first one is we feel guilty because we forget that God has forgiven us and that we are a new creation. I mean, that has to be something in there, right? There must be an element where I keep saying to myself, I can never forgive myself, I can never forgive myself, for the reason of I've simply forgot. I simply forgot that I, as a Christian, am forgiven. I forgot that. I've forgotten what the Bible says, that I am a new creation, that the old has passed away. So if you think about it, this idea that I'm a new creation is really such a, it's so life-giving, and yet when we forget it, it's kind of funny, if you think about it. So, you know, the fall is pretty much here, you know, like next week is September, I think, and I really love the season of fall, actually. I love the season of fall because, like, leaves change, and there's, like, this briskness in the air, and there's something just very nice about, like, popping your collar up or wrapping a scarf. It's just you're just getting ready for that. Even when I was a kid, I loved fall. Maybe I couldn't, like, nuance it quite as well or make it sound so poetic. The reason I really liked fall was because back-to-school shopping. There's nothing like going to Staples and just, like, binders and going to, like, Marshalls and, like, shopping for clothes. And so, like, you know, I really loved back-to-school shopping and getting the opportunity to, like, pick my clothes and, you know, I thought I was, like, fresh, you know what I mean? Like, but I just, you know, it's just really exciting to kind of have that new clothes, that new wear. You know, it's almost like you show up on day one of school, you're like, yeah, this is my best shirt. This is my, you know, I'm looking cool. But imagine if, you know, say I went shopping in, like, middle school, right? And then, like, you know, I'm a lot bigger than I was in middle school, just so you guys know, and I grew from when I was a kid. But imagine, like, if I take the clothes that I had in middle school and I wear it as a larger person in high school, that would look kind of ridiculous, right? Like, my sleeves are going to go up to, like, here, and then, like, my pants are going to be, like, ripping, and it would seem ridiculous to be wearing old clothes, right? And let's take that a step further. Imagine if I, as a high school student, was to take my baby clothes, like the clothes I had as a baby. Like, that would be ridiculous, right? I mean, you know how small baby clothes are, right? They're small. And imagine if I would just, you know, I would wear it as, like, a hat, or, you know, if I would try to wear it as a shirt, it's not going to work. Yeah, but this is what we do when we forget that we're a new creation. We're putting on old clothes. Putting on all clothes, last year's clothes, year before that, the clothes I wore as a middle schooler, the clothes I wore as a kid. Every single time we relive that sin in our mind and hold on to it, you're just like, no, I don't care about the newest fashions. I want what I wore as a baby. That's what I want. And it seems kind of ridiculous. But yet, this is so ingrained in so many of us. We relive that. It's almost like we feel like there's comfort in our failure. So why? Why do we do that? And, you know, I think this is sort of the other idea. So if we've forgotten it, right, maybe simply we've forgotten it. But I think for some of us, the reason we hold on to these old sins, these old ways we've wronged people, the old way we've wronged God, because we don't feel like we've paid a fair penalty for the things that we've done. You telling me that I can be saved, my sins can be forgiven by faith alone. I don't have to do anything. That can't be right. There's no way that can be right. What I did, there's no way that's enough. So then we hold on to it. We say, no, bad. You know, we keep beating ourselves up because we think if it's like almost like we feel bad so that we can feel good in a weird sort of way. Right? If you think about it, follow me, guys. We feel bad. We continually beat ourselves up because we feel like what Jesus has done on the cross is not enough. Right? No, Jesus, I appreciate you getting the process started, but that's not enough. I also have to beat myself up. I have to hold on to this. And it's saying, and in that's a weird sort of way, we feel like, okay, no, this is actually enough. I've held on to this. You know, I've stayed up enough nights. I've cried enough tears. I've created enough boundaries and defenses around other people, and then I've suffered enough, and then now, oh no, this feels about right. Now I feel okay. But it's a slap in the face of Jesus. By doing that, it's a slap in the face. And I know that sounds aggressive, but I think it is aggressive, actually. By saying that, we're trying to take justice into our own hands. When God has already said, it is finished. So yeah, either we forget it, or there's something, I want to say, more sinister. You know, maybe it's a lie that we're trying to believe, or maybe we're just, you know, we just don't feel like it's enough. But let me read verses 18 and 19 again, so we really get this gist of it. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. You know, I think that's so beautiful that it says, not counting their trespasses against them. When we count our trespasses against ourselves, we're saying, no, God, I'm better than you. I'm better than you because I could count what you don't count. And, you know, maybe we don't think about that because it's weird because, you know, we're beating ourselves up, so it doesn't seem like we're doing that. But in a weird way, or maybe a very logical way, we are doing that. So I do want to clarify something, though. I'm not saying, you know, from the sins that we've committed and the wrongs that we've done, that we shouldn't feel any guilt. That's not what I'm saying at all. Actually, I think one of the primary ministries of the Holy Spirit is to make us feel the weight of our sin. But if you think about it, weights are meant to be lifted up, right, to make us stronger. But at some point, they have to come down, right? Because you don't actually get stronger, but just hold. Could you just imagine that? You know what I mean? Like, you're carrying a weight from you, and you're, you know, in middle school weight class, or, you know, weight gym class, and you're just like, okay, I'm carrying it now. This is the weight of sin that I feel. Going through life, you're still carrying it. You know what I mean? You're still going through high school, through college. You're still holding it. If you've ever lifted weights and tried to hold it for a long time, it's really hard. You know, you're showing up to a job interview. Yeah, you know, I really think I'm qualified for this job because it would be silly, right? It would be silly if you saw a person walking around weight all the time. But God is saying, I've already taken that weight from you. He's saying, through Christ, that weight of the guilt of sin is gone. So to amplify this ridiculousness, it's like you're seeing this person that's like this. There's no weights in their hands. They're just walking around. It's like, and you're like, what are you doing? I'm just carrying this weight, but there's no weight there. So I think you guys are starting to get kind of how, I don't want to say sad, because I think that probably cuts us the wrong way. But I think there is sort of, not in like a pity sort of way, but the sad in the sense of not recognizing where we stand before God. and we, you know, for all of us who claim to be Christian and we still live that way, there is a sense that's just like, man, I feel like we're missing out. So then how? The big question is how. Calvin, I get what you're saying. You know, maybe you guys are like, I kind of feel that way. Maybe I do that. So then how? How do we get rid of this guilt that we feel? There's a lot here, and I love it. I think the thing is that we have to realize, it's a lot of realization. It's realizing that there is no sin that God cannot forgive you for. There's no sin that God cannot forgive you for. And I think that's you know, a lot of times in our personal, you know, mentality and heart, we have this hierarchy of sins. Little white lies, nah, that's okay. But like lying on like a test or on like a job application, maybe it's a little bit more. Lying to your boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse, oh, I don't know, that's a little bit higher. But I think that this idea is that God can forgive any sin. And I think if you've confessed your sins, if you are a Christian and you have confessed your sin, there's two things we can do, right? And one is the one that I've already painted. We can wallow in self-pity and in this self-defeating cycle and feeling bad for ourselves. Or we can recognize that God, like I said before, has already lifted that weight off. And if we're going to take the frame of reference that we've had about forgiveness, we've learned that forgiveness, or saying, I forgive you, is saying, you are wrong, right? The thing that you've done is wrong, but I do not count that debt against you. I will not punish you, right? That's what we've sort of defined forgiveness as. And that's true in this case, in terms of we have to recognize that God has done that. We have to recognize that that's where we stand. And instead of trying to put more debt or count more debt against us, we have to recognize that that debt has been cleared. But that debt didn't just disappear, right? And I'm sure some of you guys know exactly where I'm going with this. That debt was not cleared. So if we're taking this analogy again, God took the weight of our sin, you know, the 45-pound bar with like the million pounds of weight of sin, and he put it onto Jesus. And he is the one that bore all the weight of our sin. And this is where verse 21 puts it beautifully. Verse 21 says, for our sake he made him, Jesus, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So Jesus he doesn't need to lift any weights, right? Jesus did not need to do any of that. He had no sin, perfect. And yet God took the weight that we have and put all of it, not just mine, not just me and like one other person here, every single sin has been put on him. And I think we have to really recognize that and hang on to that, because through Jesus, we can do what? We can become the righteousness of God. So it's not just like we will be right with God, which we are, but it's the righteousness of God. That through Christ and his suffering and his death and his resurrection, that we can become righteous before God, no matter how dark crimson the stain on our hands are. No matter how bad the sin we have committed is, we have been freed from that. You know, God has taken that weight off. So, you know, if you're a Christian and you're here and you're in that position, you feel that, you feel I messed up so much. I just can't let myself, be forgiven. That's essentially what we're saying. I would say, cling on to this passage. There's just so much life-giving truth here. And see yourself as reconciled with God. dwell on it, think on it. Whenever you think about it, have an automatic trigger reaction that says, no, wait, don't think that. You have been reconciled already. You have been forgiven already. And I understand that, you know, not all of us here are Christian. Totally fine. Really glad you're here with us if you're not. So if you've never confessed any wrongdoing you've done before God, if you've never tasted this idea of reconciliation before, you know, our eternal God, there's no better time than now. There's no better time than now. And, you know, I'm just going to say that to all the Christians in the room, too. If you're holding on to that sin, if you don't want to let go, there's no better time than now to really get that reconciliation again and be reminded of that. So, you know, I really hope that you guys can really get behind this idea. Because, you know, again, this is something that I wrestle with. I feel like, yeah, I live through these Groundhog Day sort of mentalities. You know, even when preparing this message, I was just like, oh, you know what I mean? Like, I just get so mad at myself. And I would just want us, for those of us who are in Christ, to just see our new state. The old has passed away. And again, if you're seeking, you're curious, you have guilt from the past that you've never confessed to God before, it's right there. Ladies and gentlemen, it's right there. That reconciliation is just within your grasp. And it just requires us to seek our God and just ask Him for it and recognize Christ as our Savior. So let's go before God now, praying to Him and just asking Him to continue to minister to us for the rest of this day and maybe the rest of this week as we discuss it in small groups or discuss it with our families. So let's pray. Father God, certainly I am sorry for trying to forgive myself, trying to earn my forgiveness, earn my reconciliation with you. And God, I pray for all of us, all of my brothers and sisters who are sitting before me. And God, for those same way that if we're doing that too, God, I pray that you would forgive us for that. But God, we thank you for the hope that is in Christ. And God, it's more than just a free ticket to heaven, which so many of us or so much of the world thinks that Christianity believes in. But God, what your Son did on the cross has given us that, yes. But God, it has also given us a life that is free from the weight of sins, free from the lie that the devil would want us to believe that even though we are forgiven, that we are still not. So God, help us, open our eyes, open our hearts, remind us of your love and your reconciliation. God, I pray for those of us who have, wrongs between one another. God, I pray that we would be reminded that what your Son did is so much greater than what we could ever experience on this earth. And God, that the wrong that we did against you is so much greater than the wrong we were going to do against our neighbor and our brothers and sisters. And God, I pray that you'd help us be a church that forgives, God. A church that is loving and almost seemingly insane in our forgiveness, because that's what the world thought about you, that you were insane, and how could you possibly forgive sins? Yet, God, that's what you have done, and we're very thankful for it and grateful for it. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you.